You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Adam, obviously, when you look at Mexico's long history, they're very tough to beat in qualifiers, and really tough to beat anywhere, anytime on home turf. And Ken, not only did they draw that game, man, they, for long stretches, they were the better team.
It's wild that we can open a conversation in 2021, Jason, and say that. And I completely agree with that assessment. There were so many moments and stretches in that game where I was sitting back watching. I'm like, is this real? This is Canada without Milan Borjan, their starting goalkeeper, their captain, they're one of their best scorers of all time, and depth on the bench, not in the team. They're at Azteca, and they are taking it to Mexico. Mexico looked terrified of Canada yesterday. They didn't want to make a mistake. They finally had fans back in the stadium, and it was like they were afraid of this upstart Canadian side that is on such a high, incredible upward trajectory. It really was something incredible to witness. And the more amazing part is that's the expectation for this team now. And to hear John Herdman and Jonathan Osorio postgame saying, yeah, we're thrilled with the result, but we're genuinely disappointed that we didn't get that win that has never been done in Mexico. So just a wild time to be a fan of this sport, this team, and this country right now, Jason.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's a good attitude to have. I think the outsider's like, oh, it's a draw. It's really exciting. Well, for the players on the pitch, they're like, no, you want to win games. And if your team's competitive, then you want to win even more. So I totally understand it. But you look at now and what do you think it is about Canada that's allowed them to be as competitive against the U.S. and Mexico? Like, because it's kind of sudden, but it's not sudden. Is it being tactical approach? Is it just the fact that, you know, they have, you know, some elite players now finally? What is it that's allowed us to look legitimately competitive with teams that are perennial World Cup teams and a lot of times in the quarterfinals and in the Sweet 16s?
Yeah, I don't even think you could pick out one thing, because if you could, then Mexico and the U.S. still would be able to have our number. I honestly think it's a complete and fantastic combination led by John Herdman. Obviously, when he made the move from the women's side to the men's side, there were some supporters of the women's team that were a little bit frustrated and disappointed, and he left them in a fantastic spot, and Bev Priestman, who took over for him, clearly of cut from the same cloth, picked up where they left off. So you could already see the legacy that he was building with Canada soccer. And he takes on this men's side where it was a coaching carousel, it was underperforming, and it was, we had a lot of the pieces, but we never had cohesion. So Herdman, I think, gets almost, if not the number one spot, he definitely gets a good shout. And you're right, there is elite talent on this team. Obviously, Alphonso Davies, you don't even have to talk about him in depth anymore. You can really just say his name, and people, even with the most basic understanding of this sport, goes, yeah, I know that he is a global superstar. But I don't think people appreciate the fact that at his age, where he's from, his story, he is one of the best in the world, if not the best, at his position, playing for a top club. He's already won just about everything there is to win domestically, and you bring him into the national team fold. Obviously, Tejon Buchanan, he's playing for an amazing side in Major League Soccer right now, and he's about to move to Belgium when a season's done. And there's just depth on this team, and those are just the names that stick out, but there aren't any glaring weaknesses in this team anymore, Jason, and I think yesterday was the biggest test, missing as many players as they were, where Canadian teams in the past going to Mexico, and just to build to your point, that was the first time they've secured a draw in Mexico in the World Cup qualifier since 1981. So they're a big reason why we're finding the success that we are right now in this sport in Canada.
Adam Jenkins joins us from One Soccer. So now we look ahead, because they played a great game against an opponent that obviously they would respect. Now they have two games coming up here in the next week against opponents that are ranked, I think it's 59th and 68th, or 58th and 69th. I can't remember what the rankings are. Like, these are two games that, after their performance in Mexico is a draw, if they don't win, that would be a major disappointment now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Canada's ranking in the world, we're just outside the top 50 at 51, but you're right to call out Jamaica, and Panama are ranked lower, and especially the Panama game at home, that's one where the expectation is to win. And we had a good chat about it on our post-game show last night on One Soccer, where it's almost difficult to switch that focus from we're going to go in as the underdogs who have a fighting chance against Mexico to all of a sudden playing games that we can't drop. And Jamaica, they've had a really rocky start to this qualifying window. We're still without some names from injury. We don't know who's going to be available on Sunday. And then you have Richie Larea of Toronto FC, Tejan Buchanan, who we talked about, and Stephen Vittoria, who wore the captain's armband last night, all are going to miss the game on Sunday in Kingston because they picked up their second yellow card, which is a whole other tangent about two yellow cards in 14 games being a suspension. Seems really, really harsh, but I digress. So it's not going to be a walk in the park by any means. If memory serves, Jamaica hasn't been cleared to have supporters in the stands, which is anytime you're on the road and you're playing behind closed doors, that's a win for the away side. But then you come back to Toronto at BMO Field and the expectation has to be we're going to win this game. And you carry that forward, obviously, knowing your market as well as I do. When we go to Commonwealth, those are games now as the home team, Costa Rica and Mexico, where you are expecting to at least get a draw. Anything beneath that would be a disappointment.
So what's the concern, if any, of those two opponents from Canadian perspective?
In this window, Jamaica and Panama?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Panama for sure is the team that, of everyone ranked beneath Canada, and you can sort of classify them in tiers, where Mexico, the U.S., they're your number one tier. Canada is pretty firmly that next man up right now. They're still third in the standings, and they're looking like they belong at the top of the pack. But Panama's been sneaky quiet. It was a strange one last night. Canada beat El Salvador in the final game of the first window at BMO Field convincingly, and El Salvador went out and beat Panama last night. So that bodes well for the Canadians, but it's not a team, any team in Central America, as anyone who's followed CONCACAF football for a while will know, you can't take a day off. You can't give them spells in the game to get some momentum, get that early goal like we saw Mexico do last night, because it gets really intense, especially when the spotlight is on you to perform. But look, they've got some quality up and down that lineup, and they're not going to have your standout players like we saw with Mexico fielding that front five yesterday. You had Chucky Lozano, Raul Jimenez, and Jesus Corona. That is an unbelievable front three for Mexico. You're not going to see that out-and-out star power from the Panamanians, but these are the games that can trip you up when all of a sudden you're riding the high of a big result in Mexico to games where you should win. That's where you can get tripped up, especially when we're missing a bit of depth in terms of who we might, as supporters and media, be able to expect to see. I think it's a game where they would be content with the draw, but definitely you would want minimum 4 points from these next two games.
And why is there no VAR, VAR video review in CONCACAF? Why?
It's funny how people hate VAR when it's there and it goes against their team. Then as soon as it's not there, they're like, oh my God, we need this. This is an integral part to the game. It's a good question, Jason. It just comes down simply to the cost and the infrastructure in some of the Central American stadiums. In particular, it's just the stadiums aren't suited to sustain and to implement that technology. But we've seen a few times already where we definitely could be using it, especially in CONCACAF, where things expect the unexpected is the unofficial motto of CONCACAF.
Well, for me, if it's World Cup qualifiers, and I have no problem if they don't have it, I would just say then everybody doesn't have it. You can't have it in one conference and then on the other. To me, that's the issue I have. Honestly, I don't need it, to be honest. You know what? They're going to have the odd mistake. Yeah, that sucks. Okay. If you want it, sure, fine. But to me, it's got to be all or nothing. It can't be, well, these teams have it, and then these teams don't have it, and then these teams have it. That, to me, is my only issue.
No, I'm with you 100%. And CONCACAF just announced this year that we're going to see VAR, and we have seen in some of the final rounds of bigger competitions. So they're building towards it. And I think with what Victor Monteleone, the president of CONCACAF, and the trajectory he's pushing this confederation, it should be in there. But I'm totally with you, Jason. You can't watch a high standard where officials, they can be lenient and say, well, I'm not sure VAR is there to bail me out, and then you come to CONCACAF and not have it. So I would certainly expect by the next window that we'd be able to implement it.
And quickly, can you give me a rundown? What does Canada need to do here if they're going to qualify? We've got a lot of text. If you can explain it quickly, like what's the best case or most realistic outcome here for Canada? How many more wins do they need?
we've been talking at One Soccer. Christian Jack is way more of a numbers guy than I am, but it seems like 21 points from the 14 games would be enough. Really, the expectation and how we get it done is we take care of our games at home. Mexico, again, is one where you would be able to say, okay, we'll take the draw in that game, but you can't have any big slip-ups against weak teams. You got to win your games at home, go out on the road to the El Salvadors. Jamaica, despite the shorthanded roster, you need to have one where you got to get the 3 points tomorrow. It's not end of world if they don't get there, but win your games at home, beat the opponents you should definitely beat, and draws are always better than losses in CONCACAF. If you can get that point in games where it could be disappointing otherwise, just minimize the losses. It seems pretty straightforward, but ultimately, take care of business at home, get your points on the road. And Jason, before I go, I need to ask you a question based on what I've sure. heard. Is Strudwick going to try out to be a ball boy for the World Cup qualifiers that are at Commonwealth? Because we might need him to shovel off some snow at the turf as well.
Oh, well, I can tell you right now, anything with balls is not Strudy's forte, right? The ice is where he's comfortable, but you know, anything with soccer ball or baseball, probably avoid it. You know, he had, and I'm not sure if mentally he could handle you know, another tryout that went awry, like his shoveling did last night. So
that's a great point.
We'll see, though. It's a good effort, though. Good effort. I like it. It's nice. Awesome stuff, man. Well, we look forward to the next two games. We'll have to talk to you again soon, Adam. We appreciate it.
My phone's always open, Jason. Pleasure being on with you.